Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
All of
this! I'm young.
Yeah.
I'm handsome. I'm bad. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth.
She is the quintessential, the apple of my eye. Amazing how two become one. I love is divine. Not a moment passed by when she not on my mind. The reason I stay on the grind is so she remains fly. Walking side by side with the wind at our back, the sunset ahead. We can't be separated by death. She is my afterlife. I hold her wrapped in Christ. She had my little God. She is all that I got. She is all that I'm not. I mean, others came and went. Thought I was whole before her. Without her, I'm 50%. Get love or die trying. We defy the laws of gravity. She had me at hello. Just want to thank her for having me. Some say love is a tragedy. I think love is royal. She is my majesty. To her, remain loyal. Cook me breakfast, lunch, supper. Nourish my every need. If it's cheaper to keep her, she is priceless to me.
She is my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior. She made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me. She is my confidant.
She is
my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior. She made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me. She is my confidant.
She is the mother of the earth, the passion of my soul. Fight for 12 rounds with my back against the rope. Buzzers attack and provoke, but she right there beside me. The body to my closet, she in the passenger ride. She love me like no other, lose her, won't find another. She is my comfort zone, she is everything I want. She is waiting at home and I can't sleep without her. She'll do anything for me, and I wouldn't doubt her. Knew it was something about her ever since she was a girl. But now she a woman, she is my whole world. Yeah, I see them other girls there, some of them bad, but I just let them pass cause I know what we have. Yeah, yeah, she all that in the bag of chips too. She is my bling bling plus what those lips that do. I love to kiss boo sometimes for no reason. She is my lifeline, yeah, the reason I'm still breathing.
She is my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior, she made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me, she is my confidant.
She is
my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior, she made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me, she is my confidant.
She is
my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior, she made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me, she is my confidant.
She is
my best friend and my best I can pay.
She is
my queen, my savior, she made me a man.
She is
everything I need and everything I want.
She is
my best to me, she is my confidant.
I say, it's in the reach of my arm, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally.
This is Damo Entertainment calling from St. Louis, and you are now tuned into Lawless Radio, the hottest radio show online. Love what y'all doing out here. I see you. This is Damo ENT, and I'm out.
Oh! What's the business? What's the business? What's the business? Y'all already know what it is, baby. It's the Chairman and the Queen, baby. Lawless Radio is on live. Y'all know what to do right about now. Call a friend and tell a friend to bring about four or five friends so we can get it in. Next 2 hours, we're going to do what it is we do, and that is support your local come-up. Underground, unsigned, independent music, baby. Y'all know how we do it. If y'all want to follow the action, man, simply go to at Lawless Radio. You can follow me. That is at The Chairman, TL, or at Queen of Afro Pop to get up with M.E. Hey, on the show tonight, man, we're about to get a little serious here. I know y'all got a chance to read the post, and I've been blasting it out pretty much since I got it. And I've been getting a lot of responses from it. We're going to go a little more in-depth. You know, but if I don't get no music tonight, man, I don't want y'all to trip, man. It's not about the music tonight, man. It's actually about the situation. So that's what I'm going to try to stay in tune with, man. I'm going to still, you know, try to get y'all something, man. But if we stray from this music, man. Don't y'all think ill of me, man, but some things do take front seat, and we're going to allow this to take front seat. Queen, are you there, baby?
I am here. What's
queen,
up, world? It's your girl, M.E. the Queen. Also, your Carolina Peach, joining you on another Wednesday for Grit and Grind. I'm telling you, I've been grinding, but I've been gritting while I've been doing it because I've been sick. I've been sick of the cold. I know I don't sound like the normal N.E. You know, I'm a little stuffy right now, you know, a little hoarse. I sound better than I did earlier. Thank God for that. But it's still Grit Grind Wednesday at the end of the day, and I'm glad to be here. You know, it's Lawless. We support our local come up. I mean, that's what it is, baby. I'm just excited for another Grit Grind Wednesday. I always get excited on Tuesday night because I'd be thinking, like, what we going to talk about tomorrow? Who we going to make laugh? Who's going to call in? Who's going to surprise us? Who we going to surprise? You know what I'm saying? But I got to get myself better before y'all. Look, I'm going to dub my own self the queen of ER if I don't get myself better. I've been sick for 3 weeks now. It's time to come back to M. It's time to come back to M, yo. But, yeah, that's what it is. I'm still, you know, I'm still tripping off a Kanye West comment last week, a whole week later. I'm still tripping off that comment. I can't get past it. You know, Kim Kardashian being more influential than our, you know, first lady, Michelle Obama.
The president.
But
she's more, hey, so they more influential than Jesus. That's the one that got me. That's the one that got me.
Yes, more influential than the person that made you. Well, you know what? I feel like this. If you're more influential than the person that made you, then you shouldn't be calling yourself Jesus. Then you should come up with another name that's more superior and more supreme. Dig.
Con him. Hey, we on the Abdul tonight.
Yeah,
there you go right now. There you go.
That's Hebrew.
Hey,
that's Hebrew for kiss my booty.
Hebrew. Yeah, okay. We're going to get Kanye on here sooner or later. He got some explaining to do. But
absolutely.
But on the show, man, if y'all can get a chance to, huh?
No. I was doing my Lucy. I made my Desi Arnaz impression, like I always do.
Oh man,
I was saying
crazy.
That Kanye got some explaining to do, is what I said.
Some explaining to do, yes
Cuban,
he do.
I said in my Cuban accent.
There you go. Hey, if y'all didn't get a chance, go to the page. Go to my page. Actually, it's up on the Lawless Radio page too. If you're not one of my friends or anything, or if you didn't get the blast that I sent out. And I really want y'all to read through this. We're about to bring her in on the show, but I really want y'all to read through to basically, you know, get an understanding of this horrific tale. I read this and I cannot lie. I was mortified. I got a chance, and it's crazy because I had this, and then I ended up watching the Dr. Phil interview with one of the abductees, and the comparison, you know, it just really struck me. You know, it's like, wow, you know, just to kick off, so I've been silent out of respect. Now, hear this, out of respect for Jane, you know, after all she's gone through, you know, I out of respect, I've been quiet, you know, for 15 years, you know, this has been my husband, you know, father to my kids, you know, and even after what she's endured, you know, she still turned around and said, you know, I still had respect, you know, and didn't want to drag him through the dirt, you know, and, you know, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to bring her in. Joy, are you, which one do you want me to call you, Artis or Williams, or, you know, I don't want to mess. I just call you Joy. That's what we'll do. We'll keep it like that. How that sound, Joy?
Yes, I think that's perfect because I am Joy.
There you go.
Joy in the morning. That's all right.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm blessed, you know. Like I was telling the listeners, I mean, going through, you know, and reading, when you read this and you today, you know, and also yesterday, I caught the Dr. Phil interview, you know, where he talked to the young lady, Michelle. She was one of the abductees and got the chance to, you know, got a chance to listen to that. And, I mean, just in going through, you know, her accounts and everything, you know, and understanding that this was something a stranger did to another stranger, you know, mm-hmm. reading yours. This wasn't a stranger that did all of this to you. This wasn't somebody you had a chance meeting, you know, a chance encounter. You know, this wasn't one of those, you know, what they, you know, they call a date rape situation where you accidentally met a bad guy on a bad day. This was mm-hmm. your husband.
That's right. That's right. And I want to say before we go wherever this interview is going to go that I am not doing it to put him necessarily on blast, even though part of it is because he hasn't done the right thing. But the other part is I've gotten so many responses from women that cry to me on the phone that don't even realize that they're not crying for me. They're crying for them. And
yes.
the fact that somebody has validated their voice and their thoughts and their experience. So it's
Absolutely.
Really not about me, even though I had to walk through there. It's about everybody else that is going to be touched and changed and saved through this process. So it's not about, you know, just pulling his drawers down.
Right.
Because they're going
right.
to come down anyway, because when you
right.
bust the system, it kicks back. So that is the first thing that I wanted to say, is that I'm not doing it so that I can get famous off of being a rolled-up ex-player's wife. I signed up to be with that dude for 1,000 lifetimes. I loved him. I still love him today. But I will not be mistreated. And if it takes me to go through it at the highest level so that the people that are married to the plumber or married to somebody else that is going through this, when their feelings are not validated, my voice will be for them.
Right, right.
Right, right.
I can respect that. And I actually appreciate you saying that because, you know, oftentimes the first thing that comes to, you know, people's mind, oh, she's coming, you know, she want to put them on blast. There's a hidden agenda. You know, she must be trying to get money. She want a reality show. You know, she want, you know, but, I mean, it's put out there. Hey, I loved him. I still love him. But what happened wasn't right. And I don't want to keep pretending like it didn't happen. I didn't have a voice. You know, I have a voice now and hear me talk, you know. So I appreciate that much of it, you know. I mean, and getting it out. And, yes, it can be, you know, a tale of encouragement for others that are going through it, because I got a young man who actually does not want me to use his name, but he said he's going through something similar, and I mean, I kid you not, you know, I did not dismiss his story when he sent the statement. I didn't dismiss it, but how often do you hear, you know, of domestic, you know, abuse, you know, to men? Well, he and his partner. His partner, he says, is a well-established businessman, and he basically put his career and aspirations on hold to help his partner build, you know, his business, you know, mm-hmm. and his partner has, you know, for the past, and I got to go back and read it, but for the past however long, however many years it's been, his partner makes, you know, a point of reminding him that he is nobody without him. You know, and it is just that. You are nobody without me. Now you can't drive the vehicle today. You know, so oftentimes he finds himself walking, and he dare not have dinner or anything, not prepared when he get home, not being able to drive the car is not an excuse. You know, and when he said that to me, I said, are you serious?
Yep. It's really the little things, you know, and, like, even when I was going through it and Kat started bullying me and I went to my attorney, he was like, you know, that's minor. You know, that's something minor. You know, just ride around with a cooler in your car and take your laundry so he doesn't, you know, step on it or throw it away or do whatever. And there was. I mean, if you look at my car even today, my friends would get in and be like, yeah, you're still struggling with that domestic violence issue, riding around with everything in your car. And that is the way my car looks today. even though I have a safe place to stay today,
right.
I have gotten accustomed to, if something jumps off, I need to be able to go to my car because it's
for
me. Yeah. And that's what I did. So, you know, it is a lot of people that go through it that don't say anything. There's a lot of people that go through it that say something, that, but because their head is not split in two or they're not reading their obituary, nobody listens. I don't want y'all calling my mama and my friends talking about, well, what happened?
Right.
We never saw it.
Right.
Well,
right.
Do if everybody was out in the open about domestic violence, there would be none, because Cat wouldn't treat me the way that he treated me outside, that he treated me inside, because it wouldn't be acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Take me back. Take me back. You know, this here, was this gradual, or was this just one event that changed the whole structure of your relationship? Take me back to where you can remember the change in a relationship coming, because obviously it couldn't have been like this, you know, when you guys were dating, you know, before the wedding. So take me back to where you remember it first starting. You know, where was the change at?
Okay, on the day the Bears released him, first of all, I found out on the radio, 670 The Score, and then I got home and saw it on the ticker tape. That's how I found out. And by then, he was already in the basement. He stayed in the basement for 3 months. He didn't shower. He didn't shave, and he did not open the blinds. My son and I ate our meals by candlelight because I love that dude, and I felt like my love could bring him through. I never played on a professional anything. I've never done anything on TV. So I can only imagine the hit that not only his ego took, but his heart took. He loves football. And the day that he got cut, only one person came, and that was Mike Brown. And Cat was so distraught that I let Mike Brown sit outside. And he was the only one that called. Now, on Sundays and Thursdays and Monday night football, I had the whole team over, food catered, families, kids, play dates, all of that.
Right.
But when he got cut, nobody called. That hurt him. He got 53 fucking teammates, excuse me, and nobody called. You leave me with him in the basement by myself. I called my girlfriend, all the ones that were playing. I'm like, something's wrong with him. My mom told me, you're not being a supportive wife. You need to pray some more. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to continue praying. I'm going to fast. I'm going to ask all my friends to pray and fast. I'm going to read the Bible and read everything that I can get my hands on as to how to help this dude.
Right.
And that's when it started. And I felt like, okay, well, let me give him his time to grieve, because it was like a death for him. That was something that
right.
he did for 12 years. I only have friends from 12 years. I've never worked any place for 12 years and never been on TV doing it. So I can only imagine how it felt. And that was the start of it. I thought I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I thought that the NFL wasn't going to rule our life anymore, and we didn't have to shorten our vacation and spend all this extra time with the NFL. We could go and start our life. And he told me that although I thought it was the beginning of the life, for him it was the end. And I knew then, in the midst of him sitting in the basement for 3 months in the dark, I knew then that emotionally he had checked out.
Right.
And unless we got help in 2003, we weren't going to make it. And I kept holding on, and I kept praying, and I kept crying to my girlfriend, and we kept up with our little church and our Bible verses that helped us stay encouraged and cried to each other and all of that. So it wasn't like just one day he's going to wake up and just, I'm going to bully her. It wasn't that.
Right.
It was his psyche took a hit. And I know that the NFL has a little catchy name for it, but that is post-traumatic football disorder. That's what it is, PTSD. What it is.
And it's basically a breakdown. So, you know, I'm not saying that's what happened, but the way, you know, in listening to what you're saying, basically the pain of this false camaraderie, you know, there was none of them to take it out on. There was you.
That's right.
All of these people who was not there, nobody that showed up, you know, none of the, hey, I'm here for you, hey, I'm sorry, none of those people were there. So the only person that was there to take it out on was you. So basically, the brunt of the blow that was meant for all these people that let him down, you ended up receiving.
That's right. And even my attorney said it. He was like, Joy, there's nobody to push around anymore. So now it's your turn. And that sounds beautiful when I'm sitting in your office safely and we're having this conversation.
Right.
But when we go to court and y'all are joking and Kat is standing there like, I am the smartest dumbass in this forest because I bought the forest. And I'm standing there looking like they don't even care about us. They don't care about our kids. And because you are R. Kelly's attorney, you think that you're going to win. Well, every dog has his day.
That's true. Now, one part of it, and I mean, you got to really take me back there, you know, and I catch me if I'm going any area, you know, where you don't want to go, because I don't want, you know, you've already gone through the abuse. I don't want to be here and abusing you, you know. So if I get to any part that you don't want to go through, please, just stop me. But I'm going through. And now most people, you know, when they find themselves, you know, in captivity, the way you were, you're basically a prisoner. They don't have, you know, the warden basically breaking the doors, you know, so they can't stay locked up. You know, I'm reading this portion here, and to that, was this to allow you to not be able to be locked away, or was this just a mind control of I have, you know, control of the doors, you know, the lock and key, so to speak?
Well, that's what it was. It wasn't that I couldn't leave, you know, or anything like that. It was just the mind control. That's what it was. In 2010, when I told him if we didn't go to counseling, I was going to have to file for divorce. And I had been threatening to file for divorce for 5 years if we hadn't gone to counseling. And I can't threaten anymore. I'm trying to be funny because that's like, yeah, she's ringing the bell again. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to sit in a corner and cry and write me a letter and like she always does. And that's not what time it is anymore. So I kind of forgot your question. I'm sorry. I was all over the place. But sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. I mean, I won't. What's on your mind? I want to get it out. So don't let me cut you off. Don't let me stop you.
No, it's fine. If you have any questions for me, then you know you can ask them. And there's not a place that I am unwilling to go, because I can't heal somebody and not show them the cut. I can't show them the final result with the purple rhinestones at the end that I've put on top of the scar. I have to go back, and I'm strong enough to go back. And many of my girlfriends would tell you there were times where all I could do was just cry on the phone. And
well, let me ask this. Can I interrupt for 1 second? Before everything happened with him getting cut, even before you all got married, did you, like, notice anything, like, you know, any kind of, you know, like, telltale signs of control or, you know, not necessarily that he would hit a woman, but of control or someone that has abandonment issues or, you know, did you see any of those things?
I did see a veil of depression. There had been some trauma to his family. Mm-hmm. And the first day I met his grandmother, she said, I wish my other daughter was here because she would love you.
And she also said, I wish that God would have taken Kat's mom. I'm not going to say her name, but that's what she said. And the umbrella up because Kat's grandmother continued to tell me that the daughter that she lost was her favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at, you know, I looked at Kat's mom because I can only, I mean, it's only my brother and I, and if my mom sat and said, well, shoot, your brother's not here, but I really wish that he was and you weren't, that right there is like a slice in half. That ain't no paper cut. That's a slice in half. And if I'm just getting here and y'all have had 75 years of lifetime and a journey together and I'm just getting here and in the first 5 minutes that's what you say to me, I know there's sadness. But I know who I am and I know the power of love and how healing it is. And I knew that I could heal Kat and his family if they were open to it. But I did see it. I didn't really see, you know, I mean, I saw little things, you know, with, I know this is going somewhere that he's really not going to like, but I saw things with strippers that he liked and porn stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. But everybody, you know, I was young to the NFL. Everybody was going to the strip club and, you know, inviting the strippers over and having stripper parties and, you know, all of that stuff. So I thought that that's what everybody did. And me being 22, I don't know. I've never dated and been with an athlete like that where this is our lifestyle. So, I did see things that I felt like, you know, to me in hindsight, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to set this moral over here. And then when I get in, I'm going to be able to come back and pick it up. Oh, now I need to set this moral down. And then I'm going to come back, and now I got two that I need to pick up. And before I knew it, I had laid Joy down and became Big Cat's wife and the Funkies' mom. I call them the Funkies, so whenever I say the Funkies, those are my kids. So, and that's who I became. And it takes you over. I mean, there was a time that I didn't go out not looking like Big Cat's wife, whatever that looked like to the world, and, you know, all my diamonds and all my stuff. And then I got to a place that I needed to check myself because outside of that, then who are you? And I wanted people to love Joy. I didn't want anybody to love me because I'm Big Cat's anything. I don't have any tickets for you. I don't have 10 G's in an account to give you. I don't have shit. We can go and share some crackers and a hot dog at Tasty Dog. That's what I have to share. And, you know, and actually the bullying was gradual. Started in 2010 with him, like I said, keeping the kids away from me, and he also cut me off financially. My car insurance. We already didn't have health insurance for 10 months. He got health insurance the day we went to court. The day before we went to court, he had health insurance because his attorney told him to. And why would you have your family without any health insurance when you play for the NFL and you got the whole shebang of insurance companies to choose from at this point?
That's true. Now, question for you. This is coming from, who is it? I can't see the name now. I got to try to go through the whole thing. But during this process, it's Marcy. Marcy said, I read this and God watched, Marcy's a female to the South. I watched over you and girl, God watched over you. Were the kids around for this abuse? Were the kids present for this?
No. The only little things that they saw was my son saw Kat say something to me. And I said to him, because my son, in response to what Kat said to me, my son said, yeah, mommy, that's dumb. And I said, I don't know what's happening with you Williams boys, but y'all need to get it in order, quick, fast, and hurry. And then both of my kids, because as I put in my note, Kat would cook three plates, and my daughter would bring her plate over with her baby spoon and ask me to eat with her.
and Cat will come over and say, Mommy already ate. If you're not going to eat it, I'm going to take it. And Gia would, sorry, I didn't want to use my daughter's name, but she would be like, no, Mommy is going to eat. And so he would usually wind up taking her plate, which would result in her tears. And I would just get up and leave the room, and she would get up and follow me. And so those are the things that they saw. I mean, they did. They can definitely testify that we were in my closet doing our puzzles and coloring, and my daughter and I were painting our toenails in my closet because it was kind of a safe space for me.
Right. Right. And now, yes. I mean, now, this, the one thing I'm trying to find it now. You said there were guns in the closet, you know, and bullets in the drawer. Did you have to keep yourself armed, or were these all his guns?
No, those were his guns. He's always been into guns. Like when we first started dating, he took me to the range, and he even bought me a gun. But you know, I'm not into guns. I don't feel like that's something that I would ever need. I forget what your question was. I'm sorry. But there was he did put the guns in my black Victoria's Secret bag, and he hung it. My closet at the time had a double row, so I like my stuff organized. I had the red through the rainbow, and on the second row I had my white stuff, and he hung two guns in my toiletry closet next to my white clothes. And I went to the police department. I took pictures, and I went to the police department, and he said, well, if he has a gun, ma'am, he has all right to have them. He said, the only thing that I can do is tell him to put them away,
right.
As if that's
so
going to do
point,
something.
So at this point, there's no help even from the authorities?
No. No, they came in January when he locked me out, and he lied and said, oh, I accidentally locked you out. Now, at this point, we've been in the house 11 years. We've never locked that door that way.
They did.
So you're lying about it, but okay.
Right.
So the police officer's like, you know, because you don't need that on your record, you know, tone it down. And they laughed, and they both looked at me like, yeah, I was an asshole.
And that's usually how it is, though. That's usually how it is with domestic violence. So I've been through it myself, you know, where the police, it's almost like the female is guilty until the man is proved, and well, the female's guilty until the man is proven, you know, the one guilty. It's almost like they look at you as if, okay, well, he just, you know, you had an argument, he cheated on you, you know, he didn't give you any money, so now you're putting out a story, and now you're calling the police, you can't get your way. And that's how usually they look at it. They'll look at the victim and laugh, and they look at the demand as if a high five, you didn't give her way. Well, you shouldn't give her way. She's a woman. Whatever situation, whatever's going through their mind, that's usually what happens. So that's a normal thing, you know, when it comes to the law and domestic violence. They're not advocates for the female. And I can tell you that straight up. I mean, I lived in three states, Virginia, North Carolina, and now Georgia. Virginia was the worst. It was the worst. I mean, and so I know how you feel, you know, to have a sheriff to come in your house with your nightgown torn off you, and you still having to, you know, prove that this person actually put their hands on you. So I ripped my own clothes. I ripped my own nightgown, and I want you all to see me like this. So yeah, I mean that's nothing new. That happens all the time, and I feel your pain. I do, actually do.
Yeah, and my uncle, because now this is off the topic, but I just got some papers from Cat's attorney, and they want to file a temporary restraining order, saying that I'm defaming his character. Well, it's only defamation if I'm lying.
Right.
That's
right.
Not fine. And
right.
I could have called a long time ago when the judge had to make him fix his house because he had his family living in a 6.6 mold level when legally the mold level should be 1. Okay, I'm not the breadwinner. I don't control the finances. So when I tell him that it's moldy and it's leaking, he says he'll get to it. Who makes their family live in mold for 6 years and has to have a court order to fix it?
That right there is a pr- problem. Hey, we got a caller coming in. This is 864-612. Who we got on the line?
Got King David, man. Hustle for that management. What's good? What's good?
What's up, King David?
You know, Spartanburg, South Cat in the building.
Yo, I'm
trying to request that song, though, that I sent you, Holidays, and Got Me Gone by Disturbed Minds.
Got Me Gone? Hey, I'm going to see if I can get that in for you, man. Give me a little bit,
yeah.
But I'm going to definitely see if I can get it for you, okay?
Yeah, if you can drop that Holidays by King David, that'll be hot, too.
Hey, that's the business right there, man. You stay right here, okay?
Hey, say no more.
Hey, man, right. Thanks for the support, okay?
All day, every day.
That's how we do it, King David. That's what's up.
We're all listening to Heavy, man. I mess with y'all like that.
All right, now, bro. Right. You stay right here, man.
No doubt.
Hey, there you go, man. King David, man. Shout out to my man, the support. Hey, but now, speaking of support, I got Jessica. Jessica had a question. You know, and you already know where this is going. Jessica said, did you have any brothers or anybody you could go to, you know, since he wanted to put his hands on you to put their hands on him?
Well, let me say this. He never put his hands on me. He knew where the line was that he was going to get in trouble for crossing. So he never hit me. I want to make that very clear. He never hit me. All the abuse that I sustained was mental, emotional, and verbal.
Which is just
so
sad.
That's number one.
If not
and
worse.
And number two, I do have a brother, but my brother is a little bit younger, and Big Cat is Big Cat. He played in the NFL. The perk being Big Cat's brother-in-law are super fantabulous. I've never gotten those many accolades or perks and free shit being Joy's brother. So, yeah, I'm going over here with Cat.
Yeah.
I did
not
tell
good.
My uncle, who's a Chicago police officer, but he can't do anything. First of all, he's not in where I am, and, you know, there's not really anything that he could do except for be an ear for me, because when I was going through it, I called him, and I'm like, what do I need to do? And he said, I've been a police officer for a long time. The only way they're going to listen is if your head is cracked, you dead, or you really have some kind of evidence. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get the evidence when I got these five little black and green printed domestic violence reports? Should I open that up and staple them together, and is that going to make me bulletproof? So if somebody wants to say that, you know, I don't have the proof or whatever, I've been taking classes since 2010, and all of my teachers and the few classmates that I shared, they all know. And I've been getting letters to take to court tomorrow to prove my case.
And the sad part about it is, you know, like I was just saying, you know, like one other way that you know, people will pay attention, you know, meaning the law, if you did vigilante justice. Now, if you did vigilante justice, all of a sudden this female, this woman went crazy and whatever, Tennessee,
right.
I guess you're in Tennessee. Oh, she's gone crazy and, you know, she cut her, you know, man's penis off or she shot him out, you know, her hormones were raging, you know. She suspected him of having infidelity. She didn't really know, but she, you know, she reacted because that's just how women do, you know. And it's sad. I mean, I'm never going to get that. I've been through abusive relationship where I actually was physically abused, where I had to actually relocate from the state I was living in. So, I mean, it's mind-boggling, and I'm never going to understand why on earth. I don't give a darn if you are a man, and this person that is I'm complaining about is a man. I don't care. That goes out the window. Gender goes out the window, and morals and protecting and mankind comes in at that point. And it's mind-boggling how in the world a man could know that and know for a fact that probably this man did put his hands on this woman, you know, and not react in a way that would help the woman as opposed to drilling, you know, asking questions like, you know, when I was in Virginia to get a temporary restraining order, my little 7-year-old daughter had to testify for me to get it. And I'm never, I will never forgive, well, I can't say never forgive, but it will be hard for me to forgive the state of Virginia for that. Because I had to go sit in a corner, and they literally escorted me to a corner, you know, where I couldn't see my daughter. I barely could hear her while she testified. So it's like, you put my child through this. And first of all, she was there. She saw it. So now she's having to relive it. And I'm having to relive it through her because she's hurting, she's scared, and I'm already I'm hurting physically and emotionally. But you're making it 100 times worse by putting this off on my child, you know, and I'm having to sit here and tolerate it. So I mean, I'm never gonna understand that, you know. I don't hate men. I'm not one of those women that I can't. I'm not gonna be a self-proclaimed women's lib or. You know, I'm liberated, but I'm not a women's lib type person that's, you know, advocating this and advocating that for women. I believe in advocating for yourself. But at the same token, you know, that, that just makes me angry. It burns my buns.
We tried to file a temporary restraining order when he put the guns in my closet. And his attorney stood there and said, Judge, she lives in a mansion. Surely there's got to be a place that's safe. She could stay on the left side, and he could stay on the right.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
You're right. No temporary restraining order. Mr. Williams, you stay on the right, and Ms. Williams, you stay on the left. As if that's
they actually thought that was going to work.
Huh?
They actually thought that was supposed to work. He can't. There's no way possible because of this invisible force shield. He can't come over to the other side, right?
That's right. That's
well, they didn't think it was going to work. No. See, that's just a thing. They didn't think it was going to work. That's just a temporary solution to get the heck away from your premises so they can go on their merry way. That's all that is.
But what it is for me is if you stay there, one of y'all is going to be hurt. And 9 times out of 10, it was going to be me. Like when I woke up and I saw him standing over me, the first thing that I thought of is I am going to jack myself up having to jump through this window. But my odds with the window and the glass are better than with a 6'8", 350-pound dude.
Good Lord.
Right. Right.
Good Lord.
At this point, I'm taking a nap in my son's bedroom on the bottom bunk, and the spirit was just like, wake up. I opened my eyes, and he's standing there. And the only thing I could do, it was almost like I had one eye on him and one eye on which part of the window so that I didn't try to jump through the part that had wood on it and jack myself up extra bad. I'll deal with the glass, but I can't jump through the wood. And that is what my thought was. And so he walked out the room and left the door open, and I put my shoes on, and I went to the beach until it was time for me to get my kids after I went to the police department. And they said, well, do you have any scars? Did he hit you? No, he didn't. Well, we can't do anything. What would you like us to do?
Right.
You know, I wish there... Go ahead.
No, let me read something. This is Deanna. Deanna sent this. Deanna says, my ex is big on the college football scene, which I won't go into. But I watched so many women who were dating or married to the players go through exactly what you went through, and I always said I wish he would. Then my wish came true. I was accused of things, beaten worse than anything I could imagine. I tried to get away, but in our small town, he's a hero, so no one would try to help me. We are now going through litigation, but I can say I see this ending with me losing my children, and I don't care about the other stuff, but my children is something I can't live without.
That's right.
In hers, through this whole thing, you know, was this what kept you anchored? Because I can imagine you could have gotten up at any point and just left and said, skip it. You know, did the children come into your mind, you know, that which resulted in you staying put? You know, and actually going through the ordeal. You know, what was your anchor to keep you there? Because it had to be something to keep you there because we know that, you know, you didn't want to be in this situation.
Well, what kept me there was my love for my family
That's number one. And my kids. That's it. Those are the only two things. My love for my family, my love for cats, and my love for the Funkies. Those are the things that kept me there. And then I had a friend that was a minister, and he was like, you know, let's just keep praying. You know, I'm going to talk to him, and it's been Kat's friend for 30 years, 30-plus years at this point. And he was like, I'm just going to stand in the gap until Kat gets it together and is able to come back. And he stood there with me in the space so that I didn't have to stand by myself. And I took it, and I took it, and I took it until he said to me, Joy, don't mess with that dude. And when he said that, that was like almost somebody taking part of the lock off of the gate, because right. That was another reason that I stayed. And he had actually came up and lived with us for 6 weeks. He's a minister, and he tried to do marriage counseling and everything. And he told me, he said, Aunt Joy, I owe you an apology. I said, why? He said, because you have been telling me about these things for years, and I just felt like you were emotional. He said, I can't believe that my friend is doing that. That ain't the dude that I know. And when he got up there and he saw the condition of my house and he saw how Kat was treating me, he pulled Kat aside and said, your house is out of order because you're out of order.
Right.
And, you know, he just wasn't ready. But I really think, you know, outside of him, you know, because in his mind he feels like, I just woke up on Tuesday and I just don't want to be with you anymore. And there have been years of Tuesdays that I had woken up talking about today is the day. And fear kept me in place and the Funkies kept me in place.
Right.
Those are the things that kept me there. And eventually I left and I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? I don't want this. This is not what I came here for. And I tried to give it back, and he gave it back to me, and I tried to give it back, and he gave it back. So at some point, I have to say, okay, the Creator keeps giving this back to me. What is it that he wants me to do with it?
Exactly.
And it took me a long time to even figure that out, because I didn't want to be the angry black woman,
right.
Because which at times I was.
Right. That's a temporary state of mind.
Giving,
that's all
giving,
it is.
Right. Given what you were going through, I mean, that's one of those cases where you say justifiable to be mad, period. Hey, y'all stay right here. Let me get a couple of songs in. Don't y'all go nowhere. We'll be right back, y'all. We're talking to Joy. Y'all want to call in, the number is 646-478-5209. You can hit me if you're already friends with me on Facebook. You can hit me any questions you have. I'm in the chat room, or you can go to the Lawless Radio fan page on Facebook. Hey, this is Lawless Radio, Greg Grind, TL and the Queen.
No doubt.
Hey. Sometimes it's hard to say what I really feel. You know, like I wanna love you, but it's safe to be guarded. I don't know, maybe it's not meant to be. You know, hey. The lights out and the candles lit. I wanna set the mood, but her mood's set. It's me against the world, so this is it. I start to visualize what love is like without her here, so I hold back. I'm such a G. My guard's up, pride's overtaking me. I whisper three words, then I'm in the wind. I wish I never told you.
I wish I never told you how much you mean to me. Should I lay back and catch the keys? I wish I never told you. Never on to the next one. Ain't no time for apologies.
You were messing around. Held back from my pride, cause what it could have been. I wish I never told you, yeah. I wish I never told.
My mind's set, and the time's next. And I can see it in your eyes, nothing but regret. What's
done is done, and I apologize. I just wish I hadn't said the things that made you cry. But I'm all alone, and you ain't on the phone. All I see is me in an empty home, when it should be you perched on your throne. 'Cause you're a queen and I'm the reason why this love's gone.
I wish I never told you how much you mean to me. Should I lay back and can't be cheap? I wish I never told you. Never more to the next one. Ain't no time for apologies. You were messing around, I found the evidence. Sit held back from my pride, 'cause what it could have been.
Water and I'm the sand. We holding hands, I try to understand, but her eyes set on another man. And if this is the case, I'm just the other friend. I wish I never told you what it was, 'cause what it is, it's not, I'm not him. So you can have the love and the sad song. I'm gone, home to the
I
next
wish I
one
never told. What you mean to me? Should I lay back and catch the cheese? I wish I never told you. Never more to the next one. Ain't no time for apologies. You were messing around, I found the evidence. Just held back from my pride, 'cause what it could have been. I wish I never told you.
Funny how things change. One day you're here, one day next you're gone.
You're not just my lover.
My crazy immature you were.
I lost your mind.
You kinda focus on the real and I'ma let you know. It's kinda strange how we're kissing and loving and hugging and touching. Now you wanna say I ain't getting nothing. What about the club? You didn't say no paying. Now we at the party, you tell me no playing. Signals must've got crossed, guess I must've got lost. Thinking it was on, but you was only leaving ball. I ain't no racist, I only do what you let me. In case you didn't know when you met me, I'm a Chi-Town legend with the ladies. You will forever remember the name B.A. Crazy.
Show me what you know, babe. You got control, babe. And you know it.
Go ahead and take it,
baby girl.
and giving them another year of Thanksgiving. Sitting at the table with the ones you love, surrounded by food blessed from above. Dressed to impress, spread from east to west. It's a big, pretty bird for the harvest fest. It's so remarkable how people do their best. They put their anchors on hold and their minds at rest. For each and every man, woman, boy, and girl, holidays were made to spread joy to the world. A happy holidays. A 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2. A happy holidays. Better be on guard, because another's coming at you and it's coming hard. With a big fat man in a red and white suit, who makes his way to your house down your chimney chute, bringing lots of toys for all the girls and boys, and back up the smokestack without the slightest noise. Children's laughter is everywhere, cause they know another holiday is closing in. With snowball fights and riding on their sleigh, with the thought of knowing Christmas is on its way. Getting out their beds, thinking everyone's asleep, but tiptoeing towards the tree just to sneak a peek at the wonderful things that they're about to receive. No end came, does the last Christmas Eve. In case you didn't know, we want to be precise. Christmas Day is the birth of Christ. It's so remarkable how people do their best. They put their anchors on hold and their minds at rest. For each and every man, woman, boy, and girl, holidays were made to spread joy to the world. A happy holidays. A 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2. Happy holidays. A 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2. Now right around the corner comes another day where people promise themselves to change their ways, to analyzing themselves from present to past. They're resolute in their solutions and try to make it last. Prepping and stepping to the party light, waiting for 12 o'clock to conclude the night. Shaking noise makers and blowing their horns, because they know a new year is about to be born. And then they stop, tick tock, check the clock, they turn the TV set on. Watch the ball drop, you shake and shiver, your body will quiver, wondering what the new year will deliver. 7654321, the old year has left and we're back to day one. For each and every man, woman, boy, and girl, holidays were made to spread joy to the world. A happy holiday. A 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2. A happy holiday. A 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-2. A happy holiday. Make entertainment.
Yo, yo, it's J. Cale. You listening to the hottest radio station playing independent artists like myself, man. Lawless. It's Lawless Radio, baby. So keep it locked. Don't touch that dial. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Much love.
Hey, man, that's what it is right there, man. New music from King David, man. Hey, got me ready for the holidays, man. I need my chillers and greens right about now. Done that, man. Real good work on that one, bro. Real good work on that one. It is definitely in rotation, man. Y'all listen to Lawless Radio. Great grind with the chairman and the queen, man. Y'all trying to get through. 646-478-5209. Y'all can hit up the website if y'all want to holler at me in the chat room. Like the Facebook fan page if y'all want to ask questions, or just shoot them to me, man. We talking to Joy tonight, man, and we just really digging into the situation. If you have not read it, you can go to my personal page on Facebook. You can go to Facebook fan page, the Lawless Radio fan page. And you can get, you know, just read to get an understanding, you know. And by any means, I mean, the reason we're doing this is to get the information out there. So if there's a question you have, man, hit us up and ask it. Hey, Joy, question to you. Okay, right now, from all of this, a person right now going through it, somebody going through it, what is the biggest piece of advice you could offer?
I would tell them to get out of the situation.
And if they're in court, gather all their documents to prove their case of domestic violence, since there's no actual documentation. First, really, the first thing would be to be safe. That's first. I mean, if you're not safe and if you're not here, then there's nothing that you can do. So that's first. And then if you have to go through court, then have all your stuff. I'm getting all my documents right now so that I can go, and they will serve as my domestic violence reports. And I feel like when I was going through it, I had 3 friends a day that I touched bases with every day to make sure that they knew that I was alive. So have a place, have somebody that you check in with every day, that if you're going somewhere, they know where you're going.
Exactly.
Cats Rendon, I told him every single move I made. My girlfriend Sophie, I told her every single move I made, and my girlfriend Nicole. Every single move I made, they knew about it. Because if something happened to me, I wanted them to be able to be like, he did it. He did it.
Right.
Because we didn't have any neighbors. So
right.
He could have killed me and threw me over the fence, and the deer would have eaten me. And he would have been able to say, I have no idea where she is.
Right.
And nobody else would have been able to say it either. So make
right.
sure that somebody knows where you are at all times. And I also journaled.
You got to be smart. You have to be safe, but you have to be smart first. You're absolutely right about that, because you can try to, you know, in your mind to think that, okay, it is safe to just leave, but that's not always the case. And in your case, it's not the case either. You know, you just can't up and leave. You just really have to put a plan together. Just like you just said, you know, let certain people know where you are. You know, if you have to keep a picture of this person in your phone and stuff, and you know, I had an ex-boyfriend threaten me, and I sent his picture to at least 20 of my friends and family so they know, you know,
yeah.
Because I don't take threats lightly. I take them, I don't care if it's the smallest thing. Because if you say you're going to spit on me, I'm going to take you seriously, and
yeah.
I'm going to react in some sort of way, whether it's calling the police or react, you know, vigilante style, you know. But, you know, you're absolutely right about that. You have to be smart. You have to put a plan together. You know, even if you have to, you know, and be it as it may, and I hate to say this, you know, while you're in this planning stage, you're going to suffer a little bit more. You are. You know, if an abuser, it's no rhyme or reason, no time, no certain time of the month, no time, certain time of the day. They're just going to do it whenever the spirit hits them.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely put a plan into action where people know what you're doing. So when, you know, you make it to that destination, so you do make it to the destination.
That's
right. So,
right.
So that you do make it, you know, you say you know make it safe, you know, so that you do, you know, get to a place where he won't know, you know, and
right.
definitely, you know, you definitely don't want to tell too many people either, because you know it's a flip side to that too, because you never
right.
know who's who in cahoots with him, because he has money, you know. You think about the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? You know, the part when Tina left Ike the first time. And she's getting on the bus, or she's getting her kids on the bus, you know, and then just to find out her mother was the one that ratted her out and said,
yeah.
that, you know,
right.
such and
right.
such. And he knew exactly what to go to the bus station terminal and stuff, that, you know, gank the kids, because he knew she wasn't going anywhere without those kids, you know.
Right.
So it's just like you definitely, you're absolutely right, Joy Artist. You got to be smart. You definitely got to, you got to leave. You got to leave, because I'm talking to all abused women out there right now, women that are being abused that's listening right now, and the ones that's not listening, you got to leave, because
yeah.
there is no other way out but
that's
death.
Right.
I don't know any man. Now, I'm not saying that they don't exist. But I don't know any man that has abused a woman on a long-term basis and decided to stop.
That's right.
It's not even a habit. It's not even what you call a habit, something that you can stop, you can start. No. Abuse goes beyond that. Abuse goes way beyond that. And abusers, you know, they're in a whole other class by themselves, because they have a whole set of problems problems that make them want to hurt people. So you know that it's not a habit. It's definitely an emotional thing, and it's traumatic, something that they went through, you know, growing up, or something that they saw. Like Chris Brown, and I'm not trying to steal the show, but, you know, I do want to drive some points because I want to drive some majority points as well. But, like, Chris Brown, who on earth would have thought Chris Brown would have been an abuser? Not saying that he necessarily is an abuser ongoing. Not saying that. Time will tell that. But of all people in the world who saw his mother being beat up by her husband, his stepfather, he even said when he first came out in interviews that he was so afraid of that man, you know, and that, you know, he was afraid and he would wet the bed because this man was terrifying. And his mother finally, you know, left, and she finally got away. So, you know, it's a thing that's ongoing. It's a thing that's already planted in their head. You know, I'm not saying it's predetermined, you know, before they were born and when they're being cultivated. I'm saying that. Not saying that at all. But it's a thing that develops over time. And I'm going to tell you right now, when a man hit a woman for the first time, it's almost like crack. I've never smoked crack, but I can imagine how it feels, like smoking crack for the first time. That first high, they get that first high of hitting a woman, they get that first high of seeing a woman cry, they get that first high of seeing a woman in pain inflicted by them. They get that first high off of gaining control. They get a high off of the whole experience, and it is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Just know that.
Let me get some of these questions in here. Kristen said, with the finances that he had, were you ever afraid that you would be shut down and totally cut off from your kids?
Well, the finances and my kids, to me, are two different things because I had been cut off before financially. The first time he cut me off was in 2010. So that was nothing new for me. But him keeping my kids away from me, that was what was new. Because before then, we would sit at the table and, you know, not really say anything to each other. And then, you know, the kids had their thing. You know, whether my son wanted to play whatever with Kat and my daughter wanted to do something with me or vice versa, you know, it was okay. And then I think that, I mean, it was embarrassing to him, and that's what he told me, is that, look at me. I have all this stuff. I'm a superstar. And how do you think that makes me look? With you walking away. And I said, well, baby, why am I walking away? Why am I walking away?
You know what was a really good question for you to ask him as a rebut? Okay, how does it look for people to know the real you?
Well, this is before all of that started. This was in the beginning stages when I had first filed for divorce. And everything, and he told me that he felt like I abandoned him. Well, I stayed in the basement in the dark as long as I could, and I explained it to him where I felt like the four of us, me and him and the Funkies, were on the beach, and we started to walk in the water. And as the water started rising, my daughter, because she's the youngest, said, Daddy, pick me up. So he did, and we kept walking. And then my son says, okay, Dad, my turn, pick me up. And so we still keep walking. And I'm like, okay, well, it's getting deep for me. And he's like, yeah, but it's for me. I'm going to keep walking. And at some point, if he doesn't reach back and pick me up, then I have to go back to a place where I can stand. Not to the place where I can stand on my tippy toes and I'm still drinking water, but to the place that I can stand. And he didn't give me any kind of direction to say, okay, well, let me just hold on to my back. And I'm going to keep walking, and when we get over here, there's going to be a sandbar, and we're all going to be able to stand, and we're going to figure it out when we get there. And it was never that. It was, I'm paying the bills, I am the boss, I am the star, and this is the way it's going to go. And I followed him as long as I could until I started drowning.
Right.
And, you know, everything you just said.
Let me get this last question, and then we're going to hit the phone line. This is coming from Leontay Walters. He said, y'all went to school, but you really didn't know each other. And he asked me, am I TL from Opar? Not TL from Opar, Leontay. I was in Opar, but I wasn't from Opar. But he said, I'm praying for you. He said, this was really hard to read. He said, but I really believe that you have gone through this to strengthen others, and you should consider going to shelters and telling your story to women there.
Amen. I agree. I thank you for the prayers. I'll be sending them back. I appreciate everything. And it is, you know, it's difficult for me to read. I cried when I read it, putting it all together. And so I appreciate his phone call or however he got through. I appreciate that. And, you know, at this point, I have to go through with it, whatever that looks like. Because, honestly, if it's not me, then who? Because I'm not the first girl that has been mentally and verbally and spiritually abused. I ain't the first one, and I won't be the last one. But you'll know that there's a resonance of my voice when I do leave. And you'll be like, well, she did it, so I can do it. And that is the purpose.
Hey, let's hit the phone line real quick. I know this male Lawless. She's been ages, been going from Q to off male. You there, baby?
Yes, I'm here. It's Mel Lawless.
What's going on, LaCroix?
Because, hey,
it's Mel.
And, you know, Miss Lex was just talking. I was crying for a minute because I really sometimes do have to tell my story. You were talking about being mentally abused, and I was mentally abused, physically abused, sexually abused, financially abused. I mean, I went through it all for 11 years. And I know that even as a strong woman, I still was like, I'm here for my kids. You know, I look at my babies every morning. I'm getting up. I'm cooking like Betty Crocker, honey. You know, they picky. They want pancakes. They don't want no cereal. You know, and I cook them the same thing. But the thing is, when the abuse comes in, sometimes you do have to walk away.
You have to run away.
Right. I left, and my cousin, which is T.L. Lewis, which is my blood cousin, will tell you I left 3 states away to get away from that without anything. I left without anything. I left with my bank account, and this was pretty much it.
Yeah. I did what I did.
I get it.
Enough is enough. Hey, Mel, thanks for calling me, baby. Love you.
No doubt.
I love you, too.
Love you, too.
Hey, man, that's LaCroix, man, checking in, man. Y'all know she hold it down. Man, I know people are I'm getting too many messages. And now what I want to do, I'm gonna fall back because what I've been trying to not, because it's a little sickening, some of them that I'm getting. And the bad part about it is it's our guys. Our guys are sending, you know, these messages that I will not read. You know, I even got one person say that, so are you playing captain on the show tonight?
Oh,
well,
wow.
Ordinarily, everybody know me, and you know that I will go in. Well, tonight, I'm not going to go in. I'm going to show a little restraint. But what I am going to say is when you guys, and you can get offended if you want to, but when you guys start talking about these women that are out in these players and how much these are good men and good things they're doing and ending their career, understand, you are being a groupie. Please understand that. If you are willing to look over the things that he's doing just so you can cheer him on, you are a groupie. Now, my groupies are saying that she should shut up if she's, you know, living the life because he's the one on the football field, my groupie friend. Allow me to explain to you again. You are the groupie. So when you are looking in the mirror and you are saying that you take garbage from people because they're a celebrity, because they have a little money or something like that, understand that you would really set your value of yourself very, 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 very low. And there's not enough berries in the show for me to say, so I'm not going to continue with all of the berries. As for me, and the reason for having her on the show was not to bash the young man, but because it is my show. You have a voice, and when you have a forum to help people, that's what you do it for. I chase cheerleaders. I never tried to be a cheerleader, so I'm standing on the sideline for nobody. I'm only cheering on what is right, what is just, what is fair. That's what we're doing here. So the reason she is on the show is to not bash your favorite football player or whatever the guy may be to you. It is to tell her story, to utilize her voice. And for anybody out there that don't feel they have a voice, anybody out there that cannot get their story out, I am the easiest person to contact. Type in the Chairman TL and everything will lead you directly to me. And for our groupies out there that don't want these stories told, you can't stop me. I'm sorry. You can't stop me.
That's right.
Now, we will continue on with this.
That's why.
we will continue on with this. And before, it's flawless, baby. That's all I'm going to say. Now,
it's
Joy, I'm sorry.
It's as simple as that.
Well, see, I had a phone call. I got an inbox about somebody wanting to ask me a question. And so I said yes, and we talked over the phone. And he said, the first thing he said to me was, I don't try to tell adults what to do, but if you could take that post down, I think it would be more beneficial to you. And he said, I went through the exact same thing. And I said, oh, you was a girl? He said, of course not. I said, are you getting beat up? He said, no. I said, then what the heck are we talking about? And he says, well, Chad is a celebrity, and you could ruin him if you don't have the proof. I said, if I've been quiet this long, would I step out at this point and didn't have any proof? I said, you're talking to me, what I hear you saying is what every man says that does what Kat has done, and you just want me to sweep it under the rug and walk over it. I said, I'm not going anywhere. My post isn't going anywhere, and by you calling me and saying shows me that whatever it was that your ex-wife said about you in court was true.
Was true. And if they tired of seeing the post, they ain't saw nothing because I have too many people to blast it out to, and it will be blasted and continue blasting.
Right.
When you look at your situation, and we look at NFL players walking off the job from being bullied, these are guys that basically signed on. They signed on for the bumps and the bruises. They signed on for it.
Mentally,
they weren't prepared for the locker room antics, the back talk, you know, and the psychological games that were played. What made anybody think that, you know, and not to take anything from women, and women don't get mad, you know, saying women weak and all that, but if these guys, I mean, come on, you're signing a contract for millions of dollars or whatever the case is, and you said, and I can't do that no more. I can't work with them no more. I'm tired of being picked on. I'm tired of being bullied. I'm tired of having them play with my head. I'm walking away from these millions, endorsements, and everything else. I've got to go. What makes a difference than the person that has to live with the person that has did that to another person to make them walk away from the game?
That's right.
You know, like I said at the start of the show, When I first read it, I stopped. I was like, wow. You know, I stopped. I came back around, you know, and I read it again. And I was like, wow, you know, again. You know, because at some point in this, I'm looking to have you know, this was what happened on Lifetime. I saw this on the show. What do y'all think about the show? Or this is a synopsis to a script that I'm thinking about writing. Somewhere in this, you know, something's about to jump out to tell me that this wasn't real. But it was. You know, and then now, you know, I caught some pieces of a Dr. Phil interview, you know, with Michelle, one of the tenured pastors, and
right.
you compare the two, and it's bad that you compare those two because this was a stranger he was doing this to, but
that's
this
right.
was no stranger to you, which makes it, you know, more appalling. You know, like, wow, I want to get in your head to the point to where you're in a straitjacket. You're in a straitjacket. You done lost all control of your faculties because I'm so up there and got you so messed up. You can't think. I'm gonna have to write you a roadmap for you to go to wherever you go because I've destroyed your brain. I basically became crack to you.
That's right.
You know, and that right there was the one that it stood out. And I actually read it again before I went on the show because I said, it's got to be somewhere in here where it's something that I'm missing. You know, it's something I'm missing, you know, and I'm still trying to grab on to something. It's got to be something in there where, you know, where I caught him cheating and he got mad. You know, he caught me cheating and he got mad. You know, something in there, but no matter how I read it, there was nothing to say, you know, nobody, you know, had, you know, a one event that said, hey, there's no more love in this house. You know, you broke my trust or you stole all my money or whatever the case is. There was nothing in there. It was like, it just exploded like a time bomb that was waiting to happen. Now, am I in what I'm seeing? Am I right in this assumption? Was this a time bomb that you could see ticking? I know you said, you know, you went down there, you know, but you know, I lost my brother and I kind of cut off, you know, communications with a lot of people, but I came out of my dark, you know, with some light, which is, you know, where I would hope when he went into the dark basement, you know, into the dark, you know, he had expectations of coming out with light. Did you see him come out with any type of light, or was it just a complete person, complete different person when he came out?
He was a different person, except for when somebody asked him, when we were out in the street and somebody asked him for an autograph or somebody asked him when he was coming back, the team still needed him. Then he turned the big cat light on and he became that person. But that's not the person that he was when he was at home. And even eventually, you know, I had, when my son was two, this is really when it really got to the place where there's not really a place for us to go. My son was two. We were going to go to the zoo, and Kat asked if he could go, and I told him I would rather he didn't because sometimes he would be real cool, and then other times he would be real protective where it would be overprotective and mean to people, like actually telling people get the F away from my family. And I remember there was a lady that asked my son, she was a Mexican lady, and she asked my son if she could touch his hair. And Kat went off on her, talking about he's not an MFing monkey and get away from him and all this stuff. But, you know, you've just tainted her outlook for all black people in that 5 seconds that you were ignorant to her.
Right. Right.
And
right.
So I told him that I didn't want him to go. I mean, he was walking around looking like a black Moses. And then my mom would come up every you know, once a month or twice a month, and he would come out of the basement, and my mom would say, oh, you're letting your hair grow and your beard and your mustache grow in. It looks nice on you. And because I loved him, I smiled and was like, yep. But I knew...
Oh. You said
that
black Moses. I'm sorry. I got to laugh at that one. You said came out looking like a black Moses. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, that right there. I mean, you. So he went from a grown man to just basically not even caring about his appearance.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And everybody kept saying, like, my mom and my girlfriend Dee, her husband played with Kat at the time and after. She was the one that was there, like my first friend in the NFL. And she has said that she noticed something in Kat was different in 2006 after I had my daughter. And Bobby said the same thing, but nobody said anything to him. Only one of his friends said something to him, but because the world knows him as Big Cat and he was a great player, they don't really care about who James is. He's become a man or not become a man. They don't care about that. They care about Big Cat and can I get the tickets and autograph and this show up. And that's
just
beautiful. That's right. That's beautiful because he was an amazing athlete. Nobody plays in 12 years in one space in the NFL. Most people don't even make it 12 years. So that in itself is commendable. So I would never say that. That's why I'm saying I'm not trying to ruin him. I'm trying to get him to do the right thing. Number one, you do need to be honest about how, your treatment of me. And number two, you do need to go and let somebody get a scan of your dome.
Right. He definitely needs treatment of himself. He needs to be honest about himself, not just only about you, but he needs to be honest about himself
when you don't have anybody in your life that encourages you to go back and find out who James is, that is just happy to be around Big Cat and ride on your hubcaps, and I went to dinner with Big Cat, and I got this picture with Big Cat that I can post over here. Those are the things that, you know, that he's been an athlete for his whole entire life. Since he was 21, he's been Big Cat. So that's what people know about him. And James was left behind. And now the football is over. You have to bring James to where Big Cat is and make that a better person. Football ain't the end. It's the beginning. But you got to go and make James a part of that. And as long as you're not, then you're going to be staying there. I mean, there's a whole bunch more that this hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, that we're going to be on the phone, it's only going to be the tip of the iceberg. And for some of the things that have happened, which is okay, because you crack at it one chip away at a time, because it wasn't always this way. You know, it wasn't like Cat bullied me every single day. It wasn't. It was one day here, 2 days here, a month free, one day here, 2 weeks here, a month free. So it wasn't every single day. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that if my kids were not around, I wasn't going to be around either, because I felt like it was safer for me when my kids were around. I slept with my kids. I took a shower with my kids. My daughter would be in the bathtub, and I would be in the shower.
Jessica has one. She said she don't know if you can say, but were there drugs or alcohol involved?
I am going to let him comment on his drugs, if there were any. I'm going to let him comment on that. I know I'm going to say this for me, because it'll be something that comes out anyway. He did say when we were fighting for our kids that I smoked weed. And I'm going to say this. That week that lady, child rep, wanted to test me, did. How about that? My grandma died, and I failed 2 tests in 1 week, which meant that I was automatically supposed to fail the semester. So I did get me a joint. I smoked half. I cried. I got out. I did that test, and I told the lady when she slid me the test, I slid it back to her, and she said, "Why are you sliding it back?" I said, "Because I smoked a half a joint yesterday, and when I go home, I'm going to smoke the rest of it, and I'm going to cry the rest of it out, and then I'm going to be ready to kick her ass on my test on the next day, and that's it."
There you go. Hey, we got a Skype caller calling in. Let me grab this Skype caller. Hey, you on the line, Lola Radio? Who we got?
I'm the truth teller.
Hello? Lawless Radio, who we got on the line? Oh, they must have hit the wrong button. You know, we you know, people that wanna listen, they get shy for the radio. Don't be shy. Hey,
something.
Let's see what Mississippi Red. Yeah,
she
be shy on the radio.
And then you just hear it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
She said I'm gonna let you tell it, but she went quiet. Let's see. Hold on. Let's
right.
See.
Just went back quiet. Up. Who the heck?
Wait, are y'all waiting on me?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello?
Hello? I thought you were waiting on the caller.
I'm waiting on the caller.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, caller. State your name.
Oh, my name is Sophie. I'm one of Joy's best friends.
Hi.
I've known her for like about since seventh grade, so I'm familiar with what's going on. I just turned on, so just want to support her and whatever else it is that is being said. I just kind of tune in right now.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling in, Sophie.
Hi.
Yeah, you there. Hey, you stay right there then, Sophie, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, there you go. Actually, I mean, Sophie was one of the people that actually put this in motion because her and I had spoken after I read it. You know, it was like, man, I would so love to have her tell her story on Lost Radio. I mean, because, I mean, you know, as we saw, you know, more come out with her talking about it than, you know, you got from the post. And that was what I really wanted to get, you know, get it all. And we had the opportunity of doing that with actually having her on the show. So I'm definitely grateful that you took the opportunity to come on the show. I'm definitely honored that, you know, you were able to use us as a format to get your story out there because, you know, as we said, this is not like an isolated situation. You know, this is going on, you know, celebrities, you know, this whole celebrityism, you know, and again, like I said, with the guys that I'm getting messages, you know, from, you know, basically you're trying to destroy his world. You know, if you mess up his name, then the world is going to end as they know it, you know, and
let me say this. Let me bring Sophie back in. Sophie, how long have I been quiet? How long have I been going through this?
I would say about a good 12, 13 years.
Yeah, but the domestic part, the violence part, I mean, like the emotional part, like that didn't start till 2010. I mean,
right,
you
but,
knew
you know,
as
I mean,
my
like,
girlfriend.
I think it progressed. It progressed really hard at like 2010 for sure.
That's right.
I
and
mean,
Sophie,
like
you
just,
can
just
attest too that you did call Kat to try to fix smooth things over.
I did.
When
a few times,
when it first,
you never respond back
first,
to me.
That's right. When it first hit the fan, before it hit this kind of fan, like when it was still
right.
just me and Kat and my girlfriends that I would cry to about my marriage falling apart. Sophie was one of my girls that reached out, like, I love both of y'all, dude. I'm going to do what I can do. And she was my ear.
I didn't take any sides whatsoever because I loved him just like I loved her, and I wanted to make sure that they were all right at the end, you know. And
right.
him, for being who he was, I think – the whole image and what he did for a living and everything that's around him was so shiny that he couldn't look at the smaller things that was really important to him. And I think he kind of lost that, you know, and really took
right.
it out on her and didn't realize that he took it on her. And it's been so many times since 2010 till now that she reached out to me at her lowest point mentally, you know what I mean? And
right.
it didn't start out like at 100, you know, percent of our conversation. That is more she eased the way in to kind of open the door, like just little information, even if it's about, like, you know, the small things about him taking the door panels off. You know what I mean? So
Sophie,
she
you saw that.
Right.
Did you not,
yes.
Sophie, did you
yes,
not
I
see
did.
That when you came
yes.
to my house that the frames were
yes.
torn from around the door?
Yes.
Did you not see
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm. What I mean, it's been so many times. It's been so many times that I went over, a few times I went over a house, and, you know, my house is probably a quarter of what her place looked like, and, you know, it takes me for, like, an hour, 2 hours to clean my house, and I would go over her house, and it could be a celebration for one of our girlfriends, you know, wedding or birthday parties or spa parties that we were trying to do, you know, or, and you know, I would go there, and 90% of the time, I couldn't sit down because I felt so bad, like, you live in this mansion, and the first thing you walk in, I just kind of sat there, like, I instantly wanted to put on, like, my gloves and get on my knees and start helping her clean because it just got so bad, you know. I mean, I didn't know where to start. Like, I was just kind of like, why are you living like this? Like, I can't picture this, you know what I mean? I couldn't see my girlfriend going through that at all whatsoever. Like, every time I was there, the majority of the time I was there, I was helping her clean, not, like, sipping wine and girl talk time. No, it was like, Joy, we got to get this clean. We got to get this clean. You can't live like this, you know what I mean?
Right.
Wow. It was a really sad picture. I really can't, you know, explain it. Like, when you're there, it's like your mental
right.
what you visual and what you see, you're just like, I can't believe my girls is in this situation. Like, I just want to break down and cry. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yeah, it was just really, really bad. It gotten really bad. I didn't know how bad it was, and mentally it was draining, not only not to hear from her, but as being her best friend and being on her side, like, man, that took a toll on me too, you know, because it's been so many times that she came over here and just slept and just, you know, I'm like, look, just cocoon yourself right here, just take a breather and just, you know, go back to the situation, go back home so you have a clear, you know, visual and mind aspect of how to approach your man and how to, you know, talk about the situation and how they can, you know, overcome what they're going through. Maybe it's just a small thing, but it's been a situation that is growing for so long. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. But I mean, the important part is you were there, you know, for a shoulder, because I can't imagine, you know, had she not had, you know, these different shoulders that she had, I can't imagine, you know, her actually coming out as strong as she's sounding right now, because she's not sounding like a broken person, you know, and Joy, I commend you,
you
for
know
that.
What?
She's not sounding beat up.
Yeah, she's definitely a strong person, and that took a whole lot. I mean, she's always been a strong person, but actually to come out with this subject, and no one really, most women in this situation, they don't want to come out and talk about the situation of whatever the situation is, if it's her married to an NFL player or somebody successful in society's eyes who they look up to and stuff like Gory. It's not something they want to come out and be like, oh, this is me, this is how I'm living, this is what I'm going through. You know, it's embarrassing, but at the same time, you know, she's so strong and she's coming out and telling a story that can really help other people come out of their shell and also work on their situation. And I think this is a great idea that she's doing this. And that's why I called too to, you know, I'm like, well, can you talk to my girlfriend? I'm like, he really needs help, you know. And she needs to put her word out because, I mean, it's been so long that she had been so quiet, you know.
Right. And I mean, I'm glad definitely that we could be there. You know, I'm just, you know, more glad to hear her in the strong spirits that she's in. And who was it? It was somebody that said going to different shelters. I didn't minimize all these windows, but it was somebody that said something about going to shelters and stuff and speaking. Have you considered doing that?
Joy, hold on. Let me answer that. Joy, let me just say this. That, you know, as long as I've known her, my door is always open to her, and she knows this. And she can come to my house any time of the day, knocking on my door. It would always be open for her. And one of the statements that she has stated on her postings, you know, it'd be times that she literally would go to McDonald's and, like, wash up or whatever. I instantly cried after that, you know what I mean? And one of her response was, you know, Sophie, you're one of my best friends. I cannot wake up and see a happy home with you and your guy and your two kids, and she's sitting here, you know, in such a bad situation that, you know, even though he is in the public eye and he's an ex-NFL player and everybody looks at him at a certain way and they look at her like she's irrelevant. Now, to me, that's you can't look at it that way. You have to look in a situation where, like, you know, she is irrelevant and, you know, she's out here and people don't really see her side and what she's going through. And I understand why she's going through, because she knows that my place is over to my place. My place is open to her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, so to answer your question, I will speak wherever somebody wants me to speak, and I will talk to whoever wants to talk to me, and that's it. I mean, it's for healing, and I can't pick and choose who it is that I want to help.
Right.
The voice is out there, and it's mine, and I'm going to use it. So, I'm prepared to speak wherever it is, because today I can do that. You know, Sophie, you know, all the times that I wanted to pull his drawers down before, and I was emotional back, and I cried on the phone, and I hung up on you because I just couldn't take it anymore, and I just need to sit in my car and cry. I'm not her anymore. But I do know that there are some hers still out there. And,
You know what? I will reach out to some of the people and try to help you get some of those different speaking engagements, because truly we're all given a testimony. And that testimony, you know, remaining within us does nobody any good. But if we're able to take that testimony abroad, we don't know who it is we can save. We don't know who at that moment we were sent there to talk to, because, you know, we don't go through these things just so we can have something to think that we went through. We went through these things so we can go ahead and project out, you know, this is my story, you know, and it's a part to the individual going through that, you know, to take from that story to save themselves if they're going through that same situation.
That's right. And in and on my actual Facebook page, if you're my friend, my phone number is up there. And it had never been up there until I posted what I posted. And and shoot, I'll give it on here. And it's fine. I'm woman enough to take the ones that want to call and say, you know, whatever negativity they want to say. It's fine. I had that day. I'm trying to be funny. I've had it. I'm strong enough.
But it's
to take
not about Joy. It's not about them. It's
that.
About you.
I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying that
I'm just saying there was a lot of postings. There was a lot of postings up that it was against what you were saying, and
you missed part of it, Sophie. You missed the first part when he said that he had a lot of men coming and saying that I was ruining Big Cat. So I'm saying it to say that. I'm not saying that you can call me and dump your shit on me like that.
Then
he's somebody to talk to, and she feels a connection with me, then I can possibly give her something to save her, help her, teach her, whatever it is, or something that she can give somebody else. So in reference to am I willing to speak, yes, you got my number. We're Facebook friends. We're Sweet Tooth friends. Get it going. I'm here.
Now, I just hope they see
website or Facebook fan page that we can like and that we can share things on and, you know, like have a discussion. Do you have one of those?
I do not. I am the last living relative of the Flintstones, so I'm not that tech savvy. So I had to have a friend set up my Twitter account. And but if somebody knows how to do it and they want to do it, it's fine. I'm Joy Artist on Facebook.
Use that to piggyback on what we're talking about today, because, you know, like there's a lot of people that we're not going to hear their comments tonight, you know, in the chat room. We're not going to hear their comments and hear their questions. I think this would be a great platform with you, with your celebrity dumb. And, you know, you being in the position that you are, I think it would be a great idea, to, you know, either, you don't have to necessarily have a website, Facebook fan page. You know, I'm a part of a bunch of groups on Facebook. I'm in entertainment myself besides being a radio host, a singer-songwriter, actress, and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, that probably would be a good idea because sometimes, you know, I think about what happened with me, you know, 13 years ago, one of the reasons why I moved to Georgia. One of the reasons, right? It was many reasons why I moved here, but that was one of the main reasons. You know, I think, you know, I want an event. I want to just talk about it. I want to, you know, I look at, you know, some of the things other women put on Facebook, and I comment on, you know, to strangers all the time. So I think it's a really, really good, you know, avenue to also continue this conversation on an ongoing basis. So I think it's a great idea.
Right.
I think it's beautiful. Somebody sets it up. And y'all show me how to do it, I will be there.
You got it.
Say no more. You'll have it. You'll have it at least by midnight tomorrow. How that sound?
Beautiful. I really appreciate.
You know, maybe you'll save a life. You know, by midnight tomorrow. You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
Just never know.
That's right. And I just wanted to say, I don't know how much time we have, but I wanted to say that I really appreciate y'all giving me the platform to be heard. And whatever it does from here is what it's supposed to do.
No
doubt.
God is good all the time.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, we done hit the end of this show, but I want to thank you. And for everybody, once that page has been set up, I will be posting it on our fan page so that y'all can get in tune. You know, like I said, the young man that had sent the message, and he was saying that he was going through it with his partner. This is something that is not, you know, exclusive, you know, to no certain race,
gender,
no certain economical buildup, no relationships. That it is not exclusive. This here is something that a great number of people go through, you know, and you can, you know, put your feedback there and go through. You can hear more from her. You can find out, you know, where she found her strength in that darkness, because that's basically what it was, a strength that was found in darkness. You can find that, you know, but I'll have that information up on the Lawless Radio fan page. You can look for it within the next couple of days. Like I said, tomorrow by midnight, we should have it. I want to thank you, first and foremost, for coming on, you know, and, you know, being in such great spirits and actually sharing, you know, with us and with the world your story. Anybody you want to send some shout-outs to out there?
Is there anybody that I want to? Not really. I mean, my friends already know. They've been supportive and encouraging, and, you know, I don't really need to publicly say it on here. They've had my love throughout, and they will continue to get it. If anything, I just want to thank the Creator. That's who I will thank on here, and you all for having me on your show. And that's really it. You know, I love everybody. Each one teach one, reach one. That's it.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
That's it, right. Yeah. Queen, you want to send some shouts out?
Yes. Well, I want to give a shout out to Joy for appearing on the show, you know, for coming on the show to talk about something that's, you know, serious. I mean, you know, domestic violence is not going away. You know, it's not something that's just going to stop. You know, I mean, it's something that needs to be talked about on a regular basis. It's something that needs to be pushed down people's throats, you know, pushed down, you know, just pushed, you know, because you want the abused women to hear these things. You want the abuser to hear these things. Maybe something is clicking him to get help. Usually that's not the case, but, you know, you never know. With God, anything is possible. You know, so I thank you for coming on the show, for sharing that, because, you know, you take me back 13 years when I was in a situation engaged with someone that, you know, turned out to be a psycho. And so I'm reliving my moment, you know, with you here on this show. And I thank you for just making me stronger and making me, you know, I'm thanking God that he gave me the presence of mind and the strength to leave. So I thank you again, you know, for being the forefront tonight. You know, and I thank God for just giving me the strength to just leave. So on that note, also I want to shout out to all the women that's being abused out there that had the strength to leave, that was smart and planned and did what they had to do to get the hell on. As simple as that, you know. And I also, you know, give a shout out to the people that counsel these women, because a lot of these people that's counseling these women have been through the same thing too. So shout out to you for living through it and being able to, you know, testify to other women, you know, so we can become as strong as you and get out of the situation. On another note, a different note, shout out to my homeboy, Seneca the Misfit. This dude, I mean, yo, he represents Baltimore. He represents Maryland, the DMV area, like nobody. He just appeared on the A3C concert last month. He was one of the performers, and, you know, everyone just don't get on that show. I wanted to get on it last year, and I couldn't, but he was able to do it and made an impact. You know, I saw his Unplugged this morning, his Unplugged segment with Sway from MTV, and it was hot. It was dope. So shout out to my dope homeboy, Seneca the Misfit. So y'all check him out. He's on my Facebook page, that's Seneca the D-A, not D-U-H, the Misfit. Also, at the end of the day, I'm still an artist. I'm still M.E. the Queen. So you want to check me out and listen to my melodious sounds, my different sounds, you know, my heightness, my second soprano range, all that good stuff, and my nice, good, beautiful lyrics, you go to my Visual Nation page, /M.E., that's E-M-E-E. Also, you can go to my SoundCloud page and listen to some more of my music. Go to SoundCloud. .com/EMEQOAP. Also, if you want to become a supporter, I don't like fans, but supporter, or you want to be a fan, hey, that's fine with me too. You go to my Facebook page, /ME Queen of Afro Pop. If you want to tweet me like a little bird, hey, tweet me at Queen of Afro Pop. And if you want to just, like I said, look at me, the most pointless thing in the world, Instagram. Go to my Instagram, EM_E_QueenOfAfroPop. I'm going to tell you right now, it's Grit Grind Wednesday every Wednesday. No more hump day. No more. And, oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
What's up with this WCW thing? But we're going to talk about that next week. All right. So it's
hey,
Lawless.
We've
got
to talk about this WCW thing.
We're
going to
talk about that.
To.
You know we are. Oh, I'm holding this in. I'm holding this in. So, you know, I'm
don't y'all miss that. We're going to hold that in. hey, y'all know
it's
me, man. I got to send a shout out. It's Lawless, baby. I got to send a shout out to the family, baby. Toll Freeze and Lewis, stand up. Hey, man, my wife don't get a chance to check out the show much, but she's checking out tonight, man. So I got to send a shout-out to my baby, man. Love you, Tanya. Y'all know who the power is behind the throne, man. Before the man became the man, he was just the boy with the girl, all right? So shout-out to my baby. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for all my people that called, my people that even sent the negative messages. At least y'all took the opportunity to read. And that is the most important part, because whether y'all want to admit it or not, y'all know that wrong is wrong, and y'all got that message because you read through it. So it will resonate within your head, and it will go to your heart, and y'all will come to your doggone senses. Hey, send a shout-out to my people out there working airlines, my people out there keeping the planes in the sky safely, rain, sleet, or snow. Y'all make sure the planes go, and you do it all so well. If nobody else says thank you, if nobody else says appreciate you, trust to know the chairman does. Remind y'all that Lawless Radio is a product of Lawless Entertainment. The music heard here, unless otherwise indicated, is not the sole property of Lawless Entertainment. Have we been granted a broadcasting rights to be a part of this show and every other show on Lawless Radio? Simply go to www.lawlessradio.com. Click on the Submit Music tab. It is that easy. Hey, y'all, I know y'all got the message. We won't be doing the Lawless Radio Awards this year because of the other projects that we have going on. But we will be recognizing the fifth year of the show next week. I'm looking at doing it on Tuesday. I keep y'all updated. I definitely want to commend the people that really put on this year. Sorry, y'all, we can't do the award show. We're tied up with so many different things. Y'all know the movies, the records, and all of that good stuff there. And I don't want to shortchange y'all, and that's exactly what it'll be. If you can't come 100% full throttle, you don't go at all. And y'all know how I said, come hard or don't come at all. Whoa, that sounds like something I should be saying on Lawless Radio After Dark. Oh, speaking of which, make sure y'all tune in for my man, B-Mo Slim, tonight, Lawless Radio After Dark. Man, we finna get out of here. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you, King David. Also, thank you to my partner in crime, me. Hey, man, we're going to catch y'all next week, man. It's Lawless, baby.
It is Lawless.
Yeah, I'm boss and I'm lawless. Floss, I'm flawless. Swag check, young, crossed with coolers than the fly, so be cautious. Spit the kind of game to make you rewind and pause this. Money green like the last drag on. Just another side effect from when I cut my swag on. Set top on, get my jet lag on. Drop top on the Chevy like the vet half gone. Tag on, but the X effects immaculate. Dimes around me like I spray factors that I haven't shed. You want the whole truth? Dimes throw themselves that piano man like a 20 cent toll booth. I impress them, collect them as I dress by. Sex them and caress them cause they try me like a test drive. Shopping moment, homie, breathers want to get they breath signed. Stirred up by piano, stay flyer than the next guy. I just flew in to Atlanta for my arms tired. But on the real,
my whole family fly. Call me Swagmire as if I was on Family Guy. I'm the boss of Floss, Sultan of Swag, Pharaoh of Fresh. Just check my bag, I don't check the price. Just ring it up, don't talk about it, don't bring it up. If your ears pop, I suggest gone. If you like me, you got to pick the freshest one. I like extra, because I'm extra. But then I'm fly like Orbit, so what's next, bruh? Got a dirty mouth, then clean it up. What the French toast? More like I don't give a give a. If you're nosy, I might make your nose bleed. Super high altitude, that